Now, I'm just going to do a little thing on talk about speaking drills in general. The good thing about speaking drills is that they really get you speaking. Unlike all of these other things that we're talking about, like pre-scripting or even reading your judge, those are more things that you either do during the round or that you're just doing sitting on your computer. This one really gets you talking and builds you as a speaker, not just builds your arguments. My first and probably favorite drill is the dreaded 10-minute cross-examination. This is where I let one of my students read their case, and then I come up and cross-examine them for 10 minutes. They hate it. They are terrified. Oh, it's really intense. But also, let's talk through the advantages, and we'll explain kind of how it works as we go. Why to do it? A, for the examiner, it teaches you how to really push your opponent. When you have to cover 10 minutes of cross-examination, it teaches you how to not just skim over arguments, and not just be addressing you can only ask them so many times what the tagline to their first contention is. It's really good to get you to, forces you to start looking deeper into their case. For the examinee, it teaches you how to stay calm under pressure. When you're being cross-examined for 10 minutes straight, it's very stressful. Even being cross-examined for 3 minutes can be very stressful. But after you've been cross-examined for 10 minutes, it's going to make 3 minutes seem like a breeze to answer all their questions. See, it also helps you to know your case. When someone is actually tearing apart every intimate detail of your case for 10 minutes of cross-examination, it really teaches you what all the different weak points of your case are going to be. D, it helps get rid of crutch words. When you have to sit up there for 10 minutes, you have to really speak more clearly, especially as the examinee. As the examinee, you're having to answer questions time and time again, and you begin to get used to it, and that helps you get rid of crutch words. The other drills we're going to talk about later are specifically aimed at crutch words, but this one's helpful. The second one is John's. All right.
Second speaking drill that we're going to talk about is called the bell. And this is how it works. First of all, you find a non-scripted speech to deliver. So this can be anything from an impromptu speech where you have your outline but not all the words you're going to say. Or it could be a debate speech, like an old 1AR that you want to go back through. And you stand up and you deliver this non-scripted speech. And then you have an audience member hold a bell or a gong or other noise-making device. When we did this in my club, I brought this little mini gong that I had. It was called the Ultimate Gong of Ultimate Destiny. That's just what we called it because it was cool and it made that gong sound. And what you do is every time that you say the word or make some sort of verbal pause like that, that person rings the bell. And your goal is to get through as much of the speech as you can, preferably the whole speech, without making any verbal pauses. So without ever going, I'm going to talk about this now. And when you do this, you ring the bell. There's two ways you can do this drill. Either A, you ring the bell every time they make a verbal pause and you count how many rings there are by the end of the speech. Or B, they go until there's a ring, and then they sit down and you have it timed, and you write down what their time was. Then you have the next person get up, and your goal is to go the longest of anyone in your group. So you can make it either competitive or, you know, less competitive. Either you can compete with yourself, or you can compete with others. As if you compete with yourself, it's you're trying to lower the amount of times that the gong or the bell rang while you were speaking. So this is a really great speaking drill for, like Matt said, eliminating crutch words. Sometimes crutch words aren't actually words at all. There's sounds that we make in order to fill space, because this is uncomfortable. We don't like silence. And so when you're speaking and you're up there and everyone's looking at you and you're talking, you said, now my opponent brought up this argument, here's my response to it, and you look down at your flow pad and you're trying to figure out what argument to address next, just going like this. We're now going to talk about this. Like, makes people very uncomfortable, and hopefully you don't have to spend that much time to find it. But a lot of times people will say, now that we've covered that, we're going to talk about this. And it's just you don't even think about it. You just automatically do it to fill the dead air. so that there's not this heavy silence. And we want to get away from that in speech and debate, because that's considered an unprofessional habit to say the word or make sounds like that a lot when you're trying to think and don't quite know what to say. It's better to be silent for a second than to make a verbal pause for a few seconds. So that's the second speaking.
And one thing I can add to that is also it's not just ums or us, it can be the word like. Well, it's kind of like, you know,
like.
You know is another one. You know when, it's like, you know, so, well can be one. Well, now, looking at this one, all those kinds of words are also crutch words. So keep a lookout. There was an right there. Oh my goodness. Keep a lookout for all those crutch words and crutch sounds and have other people look for it. That was intentional. That was intentional. All right. The third drill is the pencil in mouth. This is probably one of the most common speaking drills. How you do it is, first of all, you put a pencil or pen halfway in your mouth.
Do not take my pencil. I will demonstrate for you, but you're
okay.
Putting your
mouth okay. On all right. All right. All right. I got rid of my pencil. Anyways, you put the pencil halfway in your mouth and you start talking.
My name is John Bateman.
You can use this to give your cases or even to practice rebuttals. How about having an entire debate round where both of the members had to speak with pencils in their mouth? I made a couple of my students do that once. It was really, really fun to watch. This works great with speech, by the way, too. This is not just a debate drill. Practice giving your speeches with this, especially limited preps and platform speeches.
Most of the speaking drills that we're bringing up are not just debate-related. They definitely help for speech as well.
The exception is cross-examination, but even that is going to definitely help your speaking. Here's some reasons why to do it. First of all, it's going to improve your enunciation, clarity of speech. It'll cut back on crutch words, and it will help you talk faster. Not necessarily recommended, but if you ever need to, having that mouth dexterity is really important. This is how it works. When you have something like the pencil in your mouth, it forces you to open up your mouth. If I was going to talk the same way I'm talking with the pencil in my mouth all the time, I'm talking like this, just so that I can get my mouth around a pencil that's sitting in my mouth. It's making it so hard to talk. So once you take that out, it's that much easier to speak more clearly. This is really important if you have, like, say, a lisp, or if your mouth is being closed a lot. Americans apparently actually really close our mouths a lot when we talk. I went and talked to a girl from Colombia. She came here. She spoke really good English. But I was like, out of curiosity, what does English sound like to you? Like, how does it sound different to you? She said, you guys garble all your words. You like you're talking with your mouth closed all the time. And because, you know, with Spanish, it's all very open. They end everything with an open vowel. Like, they can't say the word squirrel. It's just too hard. It's like squirrel. They say, like, escuele or something like that, just to open it up a little bit.
Just a final note on this pencil in your mouth. Now, obviously, you didn't use a pencil, but as far as we know, the oldest, like, historical record of a speaking drill is actually based upon this. There's a Greek speaker named Demosthenes. And Demosthenes had a lisp, like, really heavy lisp, and he talked really softly. And so he tried to get up in front of the, you know, group of assembled Athenian citizens and, you know, present his opinions and that, and no one could hear him or understand him because he had this lisp and he talked softly. So what he started doing was going down to the ocean near Athens and putting smooth pebbles in his mouth and talking with the pebbles in his mouth to get himself used to overemphasizing his words. And he would also stand down there with the waves crashing up against the shore, which, by the way, beaches in Greece are not these beautiful, like, sandy beaches. It's kind of like
cliffs.
Water slamming against cliffs. So imagine, like, thousands of tons of water slamming against the cliff every couple seconds, and you're trying to deliver a speech over that with pebbles in your mouth. then that's what he did to strengthen his voice and to get rid of his lisp. So this pencil in your mouth drill is actually, the ideas behind it go back at least 3,000 years.
That is awesome.
Just,
last reason to do it is it gives a great chance to laugh at your clubmates as you see them trying to talk with a pencil in their mouth.
Always fun.
Don't do it with pebbles though, because you might swallow them.
Yeah, that's not always. No. Yeah, we don't recommend the pebble method anymore. That's why we use the pencil method.
Yes.
Anyway. So the next drill we're going to talk about is 2-minute 1ARs. 1ARs are considered the hardest speech of the round because you're responding to 7 minutes of content in only 4 minutes. So what this drill does is teaches you how to get really good at efficiently responding to things in your 2AR. The way that you do it is that you go through your old flows and find an old 1AR that you gave, the flow of an old 1AR that didn't go very well. Like a 1AR where you had lots of stuff written down to cover, and you only covered like half of it. You felt like you spent way too much time on it. Then what you do is you deliver your whole speech again, but you time yourself and you do it in under 2 minutes. You set the timer to 2 minutes and you do that, which means however much you were able to fit in before, you now only have half the time to fit that in. What that means is you have to really emphasize quickly responding to things, which doesn't mean that you necessarily talk really, really, really fast like this and lose all your enunciation, no one can understand what you're saying. What it means is that you get really good at using 4-point refutation, which we talked about earlier, and saying, my opponent said this, my response is this, my reasoning behind my response is this, this matters because of this, on to the next point. And you'll be surprised by how quickly you can start burning through points, and how easy it becomes to give this 1AR that you thought was impossible to do in 4 minutes, in 2 minutes. I've actually done with a group of people a 1-minute 1AR, where they managed to get through everything they brought up in a previous 1AR in 4 minutes. They did it all in 1 minute. And of course, they weren't going into a whole lot of detail like you would in an actual speech, but they got through all their points using 4-point refutation, and it's just really good to help you remember to use 4-point refutation and to help you get through your 1ARs faster.
Travis actually had me do that once, and he had me do it, and without speeding up, I easily covered everything at time to spare. And what he had is one way of doing this is that you give them 10 seconds per argument, regardless of what the argument is. So that's another version of the same drill. But then he had me do it in 5 seconds. I had 5 seconds per argument, and I was not allowed to speed up my argumentation. So, crazy stuff. All right, speed and volume drills. This is when I do need two of your pens for John. But I'm not going to put them in my mouth.
Then you may borrow them.
Okay. It actually doesn't matter if it's a pen. It could be any object, but I think pens are really useful. How you do this is that you have someone hold up an object that represents either volume or speed. So let's say that this is the speed pen. When the object goes up, you have to increase your volume or speed. In fact, do you want to do this for me?
Sure.
Awesome. Yes. Okay. When it goes up, you increase your volume or speed. When it goes down, you decrease your volume or speed. And after you try them separately, do them both at once. So let's just do one at a time at first.
So we're going to have this be the volume pen. Blue pen is volume.
Ancient Chinese general Sun Tzu once said, "All war is deception. The first stage of war is for government to lose accountability. Without accountability, actions have no repercussions. Without repercussions, everything is fair game. When everything is fair game, there's nothing to stop a government from harming its citizens. It is because I believe that accountability is necessary. For government systems, the same result that privacy is not undervalued." Webster's Dictionary, privacy says. Yes, definitely.
So this one was speed, apparently. This one's volume. And so this one is going to get softer or louder.
All right. So, ancient Chinese general Sun Tzu once said, "All war is deception. The first stage of war is for government to lose accountability. Without accountability, actions have no repercussions. Without repercussions, everything is fair game. And everything is fair game. There's nothing." Anyways.
And you can do both. And that's even more fun.
That one is really intense.
It is.
And you're trying to go, like, you're talking really fast like this. And then you have to slow down. So anyways.
Being in loud and slow is actually really hard.
Yes, it is.
You want to get faster as you get louder.
Yep. So why to do it is, first of all, it gives you greater control over your speed and volume. Right there, I had okay control over speed and volume, but I was getting ahead of myself and my tongue was getting all tied up. Because I haven't actually done like any speaking since Nationals. So you definitely want to practice this one. Second of all, it allows you to become a more interesting speaker. Nothing is more boring than someone talking like this for the whole time. They never inflect their voice. They never raise volume. They never speed up. They just talk at the same speed the entire time. It's really dull. And I actually had someone who started and ended and everything in between with their speech just like this. Now, he was a really excellent debater. He was really smart. He had a lot of good content, just like I do right now. But unfortunately, he was just so concentrated on his arguments, he had absolutely no control over his speed and volume. Compare that to talking more like this, when it allows you to actually emphasize certain words that are important. And it also allows you to speed over things that really aren't that important. Now, my opponent had this argument, but we see it doesn't matter for these three reasons. And when you're really coming up to the climax of your point, you can slow down and raise the volume just enough for your judge to get the point. It's much more interesting to listen to. Oh, that's what I just said. Slow down on the punchlines. John? All right.
The sixth drill that we're going to talk about is called vocal warm-ups. And unlike the other drills, which are specific things that you would do to prep for this, this is really more of a life skill that helps with speech and debate. So we're going to talk about when to do it. One, it's just good to do it in general, but you should also do it every morning during a tournament. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and my voice was like, and I would try speaking in the morning. I was like, Travis, how are you doing this morning? And Travis is like, John, are you chain smoking? Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm fine. And so that you obviously don't want to get up in front of your judge and be like, genocide is an intolerable evil. So you need to warm up. Yeah, you need to warm up your voice to the day. So why do we do it? We do it to avoid injuring your voice. Even though it was like the natural status or status of my voice in the mornings, talking like this actually really harms your voice. And that, like, right now my voice is actually hurting a little bit more than it was based off of just the example I gave you. You don't want to talk down here in your neck. You want your breathing and your voice to come from your diaphragm. So here's how we warm up our voice. First and easiest thing to do, and I do this most mornings when I've been talking a lot the day before, is humming. Because when you hum, everyone hum really quick for me. Feel that vibration all up in here? That is warming up all the muscles in your face and in your throat that help you make sound. And so I would get up in the morning, and a lot of times, because it depends on how much I talk the previous day, and I talked a lot yesterday because I had lectures and that, I woke up this morning and I went, like, that was my attempt to hum, and I was like, all right, this means I have to do more vocal warm-ups this morning. So I got into the shower and standing there, like, humming to break things up in there and get the body loose and going again. The next thing you can do are what are called sirens. Sirens are fun, although they kind of mess with your opponent. Not opponent, sorry, your roommates. Your roommates are not your opponent.
I was like, this could be interesting.
Sit at your table. It's the next step after humming. Because humming is just that low end of your register. You're going, and it's very low and very down in here. And then you go up as high as you can to exercise your voice of getting up. Because in the morning, my voice is probably at this octave, down here. It's really low. By about this time in the day, my voice is up to this octave. By the time it gets to evening and I'm tired again, my
sounds
voice
like
drops down to this octave. So I exercise getting up to the normal octave of my speaking voice, and you do this through a siren, which would sound something like this. You go from the bottom to the top and back down to the bottom again. So you go...
It's an Asian, or a European siren, not an American one.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, but yeah, you don't want to go, that's not exercising your voice. You're going as low as you can go to as high as you can go and back down. And it exercises your voice, like as high as I went just now, which wasn't that high. I could not have gotten up that high this morning when I first woke up because my voice was like, blah. And the third thing that you can do is tongue twisters. And this is so we don't stumble on words like Merriam-Webster's
dictionary. Or undervalued.
But yeah, So one of my favorites is Chester Cheetah Chewed a Chunk of Cheap Cheddar Cheese. And I do a lot of musical theater, and in musical theater we do vocal warm-ups before each show. And so a lot of times, you know, we'll do scales, and it's like, la 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 la, la 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 la, you know, that type of thing. That can get kind of annoying. Tongue twisters are really cool to do scales with, though, but you do them on the single notes. You go, Chester Cheetah chewed a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. Chester Cheetah chewed a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. Chester Cheetah chewed a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. Chester Cheetah chewed a chunk of cheap cheddar cheese. And by the point that I've gone all the way up there, I've just exercised out my voice and had to keep pretty good diction while I'm doing that. Doing these things with your voice sounds weird to other people. That's why you laugh at me so much. It also sounds weird to yourself, and it'll feel weird. But what it'll keep you from doing is losing your voice at debate tournaments. I can't tell you the amount of debate tournaments that by day three, my voice was gone. And that until I started doing this more often, and then my voice got stronger. Your vocal cords are muscles. The more you use them, it's just like the more you use your arm muscles. They get bigger and stronger and better.
You can end up like me instead of John.
Something like that. Colorado kid.
Sorry.
Just because I have a hard time breathing up here. But anyway, so what you want to do is get in the habit of doing these things, especially during tournaments, because by day three of the tournament, your hope is to be in the final round of debate, right? But if you can't speak in the final round, and that happened to me once. I was trying to talk, and I was like, Judge, God. And the judge was like, I couldn't understand a word you said, and I was like, ah. So yeah, you don't want to do that. And this is how we avoid doing that with vocal warm-ups.
Can I tell a little story with that? Because yep. Then this is your point again. Yep. Actually, a friend of mine, Cheyenne. Do you know Cheyenne?
Yeah, Cheyenne, awesome.
At a New Mexico tournament, awesome. Lost her voice completely. She had to talk like this, literally. She could not talk any louder. Oh, it was so terrible. And then she had to debate me in round four, which is actually an important round, if you know, like, the way that
the last
matchups go. Yeah. Well, plus it kind of helps determine who you debate in round five and six. But in any case, not that I try to get into that stuff, but anyways, the judge could not hear anything she was saying. It was terrible. Like, I could hear what she was saying, but the judge couldn't. And I felt terrible, and obviously I won that round, but she didn't break. And also, she didn't break in any of her speeches because her voice was so gone. Actually, diet has a bit to do with that also. If you have a ton of sugar, that's definitely bad for your voice.
Water is good for your voice.
Yes. Notice that we're drinking lots of water.
Yeah. Especially after doing that blah voice. I was like, need to drink more water.